It's time to get the view from our local beat writer who's on the scene here in Arizona. As always, you can find what he's up to. Check the Register Guard sports section. Catch up online at registerguard.com. Become a follower on Twitter using the handle at Steve_Mims_RegisterGuard. RG, actually. Stevie, how are things in the desert, sir?
They're good. I heard you're down here. Are you doing somewhere with cocktails and didn't invite me to swing by?
Actually, we're not. We're going very bare bones because, as you know, when you work in Market 150, just the cash never stops. The cash never stops flowing in. But we will a halt to that at the media party later. Yeah, we'll focus more on cocktails then for sure.
All right, sounds good.
All right, let's start with a question about North Carolina. Their top guard, second leading scorer, probably their strongest defender on the outside, Joel Berry III, tweaked an ankle in the Kentucky win. I know at this point, moving forward, information will be limited, but whoever you spoke about today when you were at the stadium, what could you give us? What's the latest on Berry's status?
Well, I spoke with him, so that's as close as I can get to the source, but he said he was good. He said he went about half, you know, only in half court drills today, but he said that was just precautionary. He thinks he'll be full court tomorrow, and he has no doubt that he'll play on Saturday, whether it's 100%, 80%, whatever it is. He said there's no doubt he plays, and he thinks he'll be fun.
All right. You sent out a picture today on Twitter of the venue, University of Phoenix Stadium, ironically where Oregon played Auburn for a national title. And it is a football stadium. I don't know why I heard Mark Few asked about it, be it background, sound, any elements. Has this been addressed by Coach Altman or the players, you know, this playing basketball in a football venue and what it might mean for the shooters?
Yeah, I think the thought for those guys is that basically they're going to get 2 days to practice there. They've got a shoot around today. They've got an open practice tomorrow. So you got 2 days at it, and basically every other team is in the same position. You know, North Carolina, I think Roy Williams said they played one game this year at kind of a bigger arena. So I think it's sort of an idea that, yeah, if it's any kind of hindrance, it's not like anybody else is coming in with any greater advantage. So I think they feel like give them 2 days, get kind of the glare and the look and kind of where it's at, and they'll, you know, go out there and feel like they're at no disadvantage compared to anyone else.
Talking with Steve Mims of the Register Guard, great piece today about Casey Benson. You know, he's back home, went to Corona del Sol in Tempe, and we talked about what a team player he's been, you know, when they made the switch at starter. But from a personal angle, you know, when did Casey kind of say it dawned on him, that this was going to be the venue for this Final Four? And as an add-on, for those who didn't know, he and his team were really monsters when he played in high school.
Yeah, in fact, we drove by today the Gila River Arena, which is the home of the Coyotes, directly across the street from University of Phoenix Stadium. And that's where he won three straight titles. It's funny, you know, you look up his stats, he was a 20-point-a-game scorer, so he had the ability to do that. He's altered his game in college. But no, he said when they lost in the Elite Eight last year, you know, it was going into spring break, and so he headed home, and he said he was heading down an escalator, and he looked up and saw a sign that said basically the road to the Final Four and the countdown, and it was, you know, 350-some-odd days at that point. So he said he clicked a picture of it and sent it off to his teammates. And so I'm sure, you know, I was asked him a couple of times, I'm sure every day this year somebody from home has come up and said, hey, by the way, Final Four is in Arizona this year. You know, I think he's probably kind of the point where he's gotten tired of hearing about it, and it was sort of, you know, just get there or don't, and now that they're here, he's really enjoying it.
Yeah, really happy for him. You know, I don't know how much you and I have talked about this, but you never know. A guy like Casey, like you said, plays at a school like that, wins three consecutive titles, come here, he's the starter. I mean, it's not like they struggled last year. They made the Elite Eight. But the way he's handled himself, I mean, and obviously you talk to him a lot, because of how great this run is, overall, big picture, that maybe slipped under the radar a little bit and really shouldn't be lost.
Yeah, you know, I think he's been an important part of it. You know, he's shooting better than he has in past years. You know, he's obviously not getting quite the playing time. His playing time is now about 28 minutes to 21 as he comes off the bench, but his percentages are up across the board. Field goals, three-pointers, and free throws, and we've seen some pretty big games that have turned because he hit back-to-back threes, you know, and there's just been some key moments when he gets kind of the guy who gets left open out there on the corner, and he's hit a couple that have stretched some leads pretty big time for Oregon.
I want to, as we talk hoops with Steve Mims of the Register Guard, from a personal point of view, you've got to cover some really awesome stuff, you know, from baseball, the M's, obviously what the football team has accomplished the past 8 years or so. This run with the Ducks, you know, beat Duke last year, Kansas this year. Now they're facing one of the greatest programs in the history of the game. You know, from a professional bucket list checkoff, how huge is this for you personally?
Yeah, it's pretty big. It completes the triple crown for me. I've covered College World Series and a college football CFP national title game, and now a Final Four. So it's pretty sweet, you know. It's I always joke with people that it comes. My family doesn't always root for this to happen because it's spring break, and so our spring break plans are always, well, we'll do this if the Ducks don't make the Final Four. And, well, it's never really been a problem before, but now the family's back home enjoying Eugene without Dad for the week. But for me, yeah, it's been neat. It's cool to be out here and to, you know, be hanging around Roy Williams and the North Carolina locker room and seeing Mark Few and the Ducks out here. So it's going to be a fun couple of days. You know, it's a little longer than most. I got a couple media days and then Saturday, and then we'll kind of see if this thing carries on to a final day on Monday.
All right, so when Boucher went down, you know, it resonated nationally because of how good and how prominent Oregon's become. And, you know, Arizona hit a high percentage in the Pac-12 title game, the first game. Rhode Island hit over 52%. Michigan's percentage dipped a lot. Kansas was under 40%. I don't know if the guys have talked about it. Any logic to, by losing Chris on the fly, they had to kind of adjust on the fly, and now with few games under their belt, they've kind of learned how to play without him?
Yeah, I think there's some of that. You know, I think they didn't know what they had out of Big D Williams. I know your favorite player. I know you're waiting for to bring him up. You know, they didn't really know what they had for on a consistent basis. I think they've been able to figure out, yeah, I mean, you know, it's a guy who can block some shots and get some rebounds and run the court. Don't ask him to do anything on offense and just kind of give him those duties. And so I think they feel a little bit more comfortable now that they can get him out there. And you know, Jordan Bell's obviously become a completely different player in the last, you know, six games, and has emerged in a way that they never could have imagined. So I think that, yeah, I think, you know, that initial panic when you see Boucher goes out, and I think everybody goes, oh, what, can they still win, blah, blah, blah. I think after, you know, they played close against Arizona, it was like, okay, well, maybe. And then you get through the opening weekend, and you're thinking, all right, we can keep doing this. And then when you beat Kansas, it's sort of like, all right, well, all the goals are still there.
What worries me, Steve, is if Bigby Williams really evolves into a good player, you may stop taking my calls.
Well, I got to tell you actually interrupted me. I'm actually writing about Cabell for tomorrow, so I'm in the middle of writing a Cabell Bigby story as I speak to you, so it feels very fitting to be talking to you in the middle of this. I'm sure it'll inspire the finale part here.
Nice. A couple final thoughts for Steve Mims of the Register Guard. Obviously, Dana Altman has redefined or reset the bar for excellence for Oregon basketball. I did some math. Oregon basketball won 12 tournament games from 1939 through 2012. They've won 11 the past 5 years. We've seen him, you know, cut loose a little bit, a dance here, a smile there. I mean, you've covered him up close and personal. How much do you think this means to him personally, taking the Ducks onto this stage?
I think it does. I think he's always felt a real gratitude to Phil Knight for the idea that he was the guy that Phil, you know, chose to, or approved at least, to kind of come in and coach when Phil opened the building named after his son. I think he's always felt like he owes them a little bit, you know, for being the pick and feeling like he's kind of paying it off here last year and this year. And, you know, for him to go to Kansas City and clinch the Elite Eight, you know, it's a place where a lot of Kansas State friends are around there, and, you know, his dad was able to drive over, his brothers, sisters. He had basically his entire family there. So I think to do it there and then to come here has been pretty gratifying for him.
Yeah, you know, I totally forgot about that local angle. As always, that's why we get you on. Last thought, matchups are important. I think Oregon has some matchup edges, but man, those Tar Heel bigs, they're unyielding on the offensive boards. Maybe a bit of a chip on their shoulder, considering if it wasn't for a buzzer beater going for a repeat. So the Ducks talking about all that North Carolina brings to the table. How would you gauge their confidence level in? And you personally, how do you like their shot making it to Monday?
You know, I think they feel pretty good about themselves just because, you know, like I say, you know, they knocked off Duke last year. They knocked off UCLA this year. They knocked off Kansas last week. This blue blood thing is becoming, you know, they've hit most of those targets already. So I don't think this kind of jumps out to him as sort of a, oh my gosh, we're playing.
Whoops. I think Steve kind of disappeared. Yeah, there you are. Sorry, Steve. We're back.
Sorry, getting through a just got off a media shuttle, so I must hit a dead spot. But no, I think they feel, you know, like I say, they've beaten Kentucky. These guys have beaten Kansas. These guys have beaten Duke, UCLA. So I don't think the name brand of North Carolina is maybe what would have been last year. And I think they, you know, like I say, when you go into Kansas and beat Kansas, I think at that point you kind of feel like you can win any time, any place. And that's kind of the way I feel. I didn't think I was going to be here this week. You know, going to Kansas last week, you thought, man, that might be a little bit more than they can do. But now that they've won that, I'm sort of, you know, hey, let's sit back and see what they can do this one.
All right. So are you going to be at the media gala later, Steve?
I'll be there. First one's on me.
All right. Look forward to it, my friend. Thanks so much for joining us, Steve. I'll catch up with you later.
Sounds good. We'll see you.